Welcome back to another episode here in About Islam. My name is Nahela Morales, and today we have a very special topic because we are in a very special month. So I am going to give it just a few seconds in order for our viewers to get the notification, bismillah, and people can start signing up. Salam alaikum, everyone, and just give us a few seconds so we are able to share this out. Inshallah. So I hope your Ramadan is going well wherever you're at, as we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's a very special time of the year, but it also can be a very lonely time for us converts. So we're going to be talking about several things, and I hope you bear with me as we are sharing this out, and hopefully you will get inspired as we say goodbye to this blessed month. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us many more Ramadans. And that is always the hope that we have, as we have seen many folks did not make it to this Ramadan. So inshallah, let's get started. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi. Wa ashadu ala ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So today we're going to talk about what can we do? What can we take from Ramadan for the rest of the year? So Ramadan, we know that comes once a year. It's the ninth month of the lunar calendar. And so today we're going to talk about some practical things that we can, inshallah, take outside of Ramadan. So this month, I think this year altogether, it went by really, really fast. And I was just in a halakha last night with reverts. And one of the things that I kept hearing and it kept echoing was the fact that people start feeling a sense of guilt, right? As Ramadan comes to an end, or as we go through the first 10 days and then the next 10 days, and now we are at the almost finish line, we start feeling a sense of guilt, and it's normal. But we shouldn't let it consume us. And what I mean by that is that we have done as best as we could for the most part. But if you haven't, then you still have a few days. And that's what you want to focus on. Do not focus yourself on what you could have done, but rather what I can do today. And so looking at it from that lens and that perspective, inshallah, will take you on to the year, right? So whatever you were not able to do during the month of Ramadan, let's carry it on to the rest of the year, inshallah. So we want to make sure that our level of taqwa, our relationship with the Quran, if we have established one, that we carry it on for the coming months, for the coming days, you know, for the coming hours. Sometimes we need to step back and really internalize everything that has happened and everything that is happening at the time in order for us to be a better self and to be able to serve better, first to ourselves, our families, our communities, and obviously, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because at the end of the day, you know, one of the things I believe we talked in previous talks was taqwa, right? And if anything we take out of Ramadan is understanding what taqwa really means. And so we're going to break it down a little bit today. We hope that this inspires you and this motivates you to continue this journey, because our journey doesn't end with Ramadan. And I think sometimes, you know, we are programmed a certain way, and so we learn a certain way, and we have to unlearn and reprogram ourselves in order for us to have that mercy and that compassion and forgiveness for ourselves that we are seeking from our Creator. So sometimes we are so hard on ourselves, and we tend to forget that the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most forgiving is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these attributes we are taught as we come into the faith, or if you're born into the faith, you know, the Quran, with the exception of an ayah, You know, it starts with Bismillah Rahmani Rahim. So he is the ultimate, most merciful, most compassionate. And so that's something that needs to always be on the back of our minds, right? So let me backtrack and let me share a little bit of what this Ramadan has looked like for someone like me. I'm still a teenager, so I'm still in my teens. I will be celebrating a Shahada anniversary the last day of this Ramadan. And so that's when I embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. And every year we set goals and every year we hope to meet those goals. But what happens when we don't meet those goals and what can we do after? And this is essentially what this talk hopefully will be. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to continue with this journey with, you know, as best as we can, and with that that solace and that mercy and that we need in order to, inshallah, make it one day to Him. So when we talk about taqwa, we talk about, you know, some people have defined it as God conscious, God fearing. And so I personally, this Ramadan, subhanAllah, or a few days before Ramadan, one of our teachers explained taqwa in a very simple way where it really like accumulates everything. And sometimes we get into the more detailed, but taqwa in essence is doing what is pleasing to Allah. In a short, sweet answer, is doing what is pleasing to Allah and staying away from what is displeasing. And we can take it as simple as, you know, Allah tells us in the Quran, you know, eat from what is good, right? So He gives us options and He tells us how to nourish our bodies. These are temples, how to take care of our bodies. And so when He says eat of what is good or from what is good, He's saying, you know, we're going to take care of this body by giving them proper nutritious vegetables and so on and so forth. He didn't say like just eat vegetables and leaves. You know, but those who choose to do so, that's their prerogative. But like, essentially, we need to stay away from things that harm our bodies. And I'll give you a very brief example that perhaps we can all relate to. Soda or chips, things that are man-made and have a lot of preservatives and a lot of junk in it, that's one of the things that when you think about that ayah, from what is good, is that really good for our bodies? Is that going to do harm for us? As simple as that, right? So staying away from what is good and you know, indulging in what is good is important, and staying away from what is not good is also equally important. And that's where taqwa comes in, right? So when we think about Ramadan, we think about transformation. We want to change everything in 30 days. We want to memorize X amount of ayahs and surahs, or perhaps we want to read the entire Quran, not once, but twice. And when we think of attainable goals, is that really attainable? And is that going to carry on to the next Ramadan? Or our Quran's going to get dust and we'll pick it up again from the shelf the next Ramadan. So these are things that we need to be mindful. And when we talk about these goals, we need to make sure that we are making those goals and understanding this aspect of taqwa in a very holistic and healthy way. So balancing it out, you know, what works for me may not work for someone that converted, you know, a few months ago, a few days ago, or even perhaps a couple decades ago. What works for me is my journey. It's my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to make sure that we are feeding our souls, our minds, our bodies, to make sure to get closer to our Creator in the most balanced way. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not intend to make this deen, this way of life, hard at all whatsoever. Allah wants us to actually enjoy our relationship with Him, right? When we stand five times a day in prayer, it's not out of burdensome. As a matter of fact, you should see it as you should see it as a recharge, like as my connection, as I have five times a day where I connect with my Creator and I just shut everything down. Not like, oh my God, it's going to be Asr, it's going to be Maghrib, it's going to be, like it shouldn't be burden. It should be a moment of sakina, of tranquility, of that moment where you are in front of your Lord and whatever is happening, whatever noise is happening outside or inside your head, you just stand in front of your Creator and you're like, okay, I'm putting everything, my trust, my tawakkul, my full trust in you, and I know you have my back. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking from us, right? He created us into nation and tribes to get to know another, and He created us to worship Him. That's essentially two of the most important things in my book, right? When I think about what is my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My purpose in life is to get to know my neighbors, to get to know those around me, to make sure that I am of service to His creation as well as to Him. And so when we're talking about, you know, this topic in particular, many people feel like I'm not able to really take whatever was in Ramadan outside of Ramadan. So let's talk about fasting, because this is the month of the Quran. This is the month of fasting. If anything we were to take out of Ramadan, inshallah, is that connection you had with Allah during Ramadan. There was a convert that said, you know, during Ramadan, I do it all. I am full force, because outside of Ramadan, I don't have that discipline and I just can't. And so we're human and we're bound to make mistakes. We're bound to okay, I think I'm back. Inshallah. I think I left for a second. Okay, so as I was saying, you know, sometimes we need a certain amount of discipline during Ramadan, and Ramadan gives us that, alhamdulillah, gives us that discipline. And for this brother in particular, new convert, he was basically struggling and struggles throughout Ramadan, but Ramadan gives them that discipline and that connection spiritually, mentally, and physically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why it's so important for us to also not judge anyone's journey and just focus on our journey. That's the most important thing. Oftentimes we see people coming to the masjid only in Ramadan, or we see people only praying during Ramadan. That's none of our business. Whatever any individual does, if anything, we need to be there to facilitate, to help, to uplift and empower our fellow brothers and sisters. So looking at someone else, you know, when we point this way, there's three fingers pointing at us. So we need to make sure that we focus on our relationship. And so, you know, one of the main objectives during Ramadan is that closeness with our Creator. And so what does that look like for everyone? It's different. It's different. You know, for some people, they get attached to the Quran. For some people, they begin praying. For some people, you know, fasting is the most difficult thing. While there's other people that cannot fast because they're ill, because they're, you know, they're new mothers, or, you know, they're pregnant and it's very difficult for them. So there's different reasons why individuals don't fast. And so that's a struggle. That's a jihad in itself, right? For us that we are blessed and we have the health to fast, we should be very grateful and we should not take it for granted. Throughout this Ramadan, I've also heard, you know, sisters and brothers saying how difficult Ramadan is, how difficult fasting is. So one of the things I hope that we're able to take away from Ramadan for the rest of the year is how you felt when you were fasting, right? Whether it was difficult, whether it was easy, whether it was a moment of reflection. If anything, take fasting away with you. That's like number one. Number two, I would say, well, number one, let me see, take fasting with you. So we know that there's certain days and Shawwal is around the corner. So we have an opportunity of fasting 6 days of Shawwal right after Ramadan, after we do our celebration of Eid. And then inshallah, you know, from there onwards, after you're done with your makeup for the sisters, you have to make up your days in case you don't know. So we don't fast during our menses, but we count the days that we did not fast, and then we make up those days. And once you do that, you do your Shawwal, we still can carry on our fasting throughout Ramadan because Allah has blessed us with fasting sunnah fasting, right? With our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can fast Monday and Thursday, or we can fast the white days. And there's going to be other occasions where we can actually fast as well, such as Arafat and so many other days throughout the year. So inshallah, taking away from Ramadan, you want to take fasting. Make that part of your spiritual journey, whether it's one day a week. SubhanAllah, recently in recent years, science has found that fasting, intermediate fasting, is very good for your health. And yet we've been fasting for over 1400 years ago and beyond, right? Because this was prescribed to other people before us. And so inshallah, fasting is one of them. Make sure that you carry it on and you make those connections. Last night, as we were in the halaqah, one of the brothers who converted right before Ramadan and has been doing Ramadan, he mentioned how he's going to miss the fellowship, the community, the brotherhood, you know, of what Ramadan brings. So make sure that you carry that onwards, that you continue to nourish those relationships that you build during Ramadan. So it doesn't have to end there, right? So our fast, have a buddy system, create something that works for you in the sense that will get you closer to your creator. Whether it's okay, find someone that will do this with you to make it easy and you can go break fast with them. So not only are you, you know, building a good relationship, but your foundation, especially if you're new into the faith, but you're also getting closer to Allah and you're getting blessings for, you know, submitting to your creator in this line. So fasting, try to take fasting outside of Ramadan and make that a habit. Make that a way of life, part of your way of life. You don't have to wait till Ramadan to fast. So inshallah, I hope that helps. And I hope that we're all able to get into that mode after Ramadan. I know that Ramadan, it's easier because you know that 1.8 billion Muslims are fasting. And so just knowing that brings a sense of, you know, comfortness, and knowing that my brother in Iran or Iraq or, you know, Palestine or Mexico, because there's Muslims all over the globe. And so knowing that everyone is fasting obviously is much, much easier. So take fasting. If anything you take this year, take fasting. Fast once a month, once a week, whatever that is, bithnillah, for the sake of Allah, right? As we continue, I mean, that relationship, if you establish some type of relationship, so number two is some type of relationship with the Quran. Don't put the Quran down. And I know I keep saying this, and this is a reminder for myself first and foremost. So everything I'm telling you, it's for myself first and foremost. But yes, if we've established that connection with the Quran and you are, you know, diligently picking up the Quran after Fajr or during the day, make sure that that relationship continues, because this is your relationship with the Quran. And so this is our guide. I like to look at the Quran as our compass. Anytime that you feel lost, you feel distressed, you feel broken, you feel like nothing can rectify what's happening. When I personally open the Quran and I open and start reading it wherever it opens, normally 9 out of 10, I kid you not, the answer is there. This is our guide. This is our compass. We should be using it, inshallah, a bit more, and making sure that that connection with our Quran, that journey that we have with it, we don't put it down until next Ramadan. So that's number two. You can take this outside of Ramadan. So we said taking fasting is important outside of Ramadan, that relationship with, inshallah, with Ramadan, taking that relationship with the Quran. I would say number three, you know, we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and tomorrow is another odd night. But nevertheless, you know, we should not say, oh, I'm only going to be good on the odd nights. We should carry out all 10 days, but even outside of Ramadan. So normally we are encouraged to give charity during the last 10, during the entire month of Ramadan. But some of us and some individuals in particular focus on the last 10 nights, and we're highly encouraged to give, even if it's $1, £1, one peso, whatever your money currency is, every single night during the last 10 nights, because we understand that it's multiplied. It could be multiplied, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of times. So outside of Ramadan, make sure that you continue to be charitable, even if it's, you know, on Jummah, make sure that you drop something in the box, or if you hear of someone that is in need, you know, or if you're in the street and all you have is a smile, that is charity. So making sure that we exercise all of this outside of Ramadan will also increase that taqwa. It will increase that love for one another, that love for the deen, those relationships. So it's important for us to continue this and obviously make it a habit. Make it a habit to always check on each other, check on your family, of course, check on your neighbors, on your friends, and so on and so forth, inshallah. So we talked about fasting, we talked about the Quran, we talked about charity. And again, you don't have to have millions in order to give. We understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has told us, and many of us know this very, very well, that charity is a smile. Smiling is charity. So let's make sure that we continue to most places are not wearing masks anymore. So now you can actually flaunt that smile, inshallah. And you never know what that smile can do. I know I've been sometimes down, and if somebody smiles and gives me salams, it really builds up my spirit, and it gets me on a very good mood. And so you just have no idea how much impact you have until you start doing it, inshallah. And if we go outside of our own community and outside of our family, you know, I've done different social experiments where I've actually gone into groceries and I've said, you know, today, anywhere I go, I'm going to say good morning, good afternoon. And this should be all the time, right? But sometimes we're so busy and we tend to just kind of walk like, you know, like horses and just look straight, and our mind is going 10,000 miles per hour. And so I've done social experiments where I've actually, you know, engaged with people and helped out people. And it really makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. Remember that we are ambassadors of the faith. We are ambassadors of Islam. So anytime we are in public, obviously for sisters, it's a little more visible with our headscarves. And if you wear, you know, the Islamic attire, what have you, just our hijabs speak volume. So we are ambassadors, and we need to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, because whether we like it or not, we are representing each other. They're not going to remember me by name, but they will remember that Muslim. And so that's something to always be very mindful about when we are out in society, inshallah, right? So we need to also make sure that outside of Ramadan, we continue and we try, you know, to with that relationship of Allah, we continue to ask for forgiveness. Oftentimes we think, oh, the month of mercy, the month of the Quran, but you need to, that relationship with Allah is also getting closer to Him by being humble and having that humility to any time that you have done wrong or what have you, knowing that your Creator will forgive you. And so making that a habit, you know, even if you haven't done anything wrong, but even after Salah, you know, just saying Astaghfirullah, 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 you're actually asking Allah to forgive you. And so making that a habit, there's a lot of reward in that. And there's, it brings a lot of tranquility as well in one soul to know that the All merciful, all forgiving is there at any given time. And so we don't have to wait till Ramadan to ask for forgiveness. So we can make that part of our exit after Ramadan, you know, and make sure that we continue to do this. We ask for forgiveness. So we've mentioned fasting, we've mentioned Quran, we've mentioned charity, and we've mentioned asking for forgiveness. We also need to implement, obviously, when we are talking about sadaqah, you know, we need to make sure that we continue to do this consistently, as I said, and even if it's small. And so, again, it's repeating myself, but I just hear this a lot, that I don't have money or I don't have anything to give. So Allah loves consistency, right? So He loves when we are consistent with our prayers, when we are consistent with reading the Quran, when we are consistent, you know, in our fast, when we are consistent in charity. So make sure that even if it's small, that you are consistent in all of these parts that I just mentioned, inshallah. And so that way, you will not feel like a burden or like I can't do this, and then inshallah it will increase that taqwa and that relationship, because at the end of the day we have to remember that we are here for a very short time, and we all have an expiration date, right? We don't know when that expiration date will come. But inshallah, we want to make sure we are doing everything that is pleasing to our Creator, and we are staying away of what is not pleasing to our Creator. And so one of the things I always ask myself, if today was the day, am I ready? Are my salat, if my prayers are on check, is everything on check? So you know how the imam always says, pray as if it was your last prayer. I always tell myself, you know, do as much as you can as if it was your last day on this earth, you know, in dunya. And so the same goes with Ramadan. You know, take Ramadan, take these last few days that we have as if it's your last Ramadan, but don't end it there, because obviously if you're still alive after Ramadan, you want to carry on for the rest of the year, inshallah. And I hope that that is of benefit to everyone. You know, and then after Eid, we want to keep that momentum, right? After Eid, to make sure we increase in making this a better world. So we are known as one of the most charitable entities as a whole, right? I know here in the U.S., we are feeding the homeless, we are feeding the poor. Charity is just going and flowing, and it's visible, so people can see it. There's been articles written, there's been interviews done on TV, how Ramadan brings hearts together, communities together. There's been interfaith iftars and what have you. Let's continue that after Ramadan as well. Let's continue getting to know one another. Let's continue inviting those that we invited during Ramadan and cultivating those relationships in order for our ummah to become stronger. You know, something, subhanAllah, that happened this Ramadan with our group of Embrace, there's these two sisters that actually took the time and the effort to come to Dallas, Texas, to spend the last 10 days in community. So they basically migrated to a different state to make sure that they were getting the best they could, because the masjids in their area are very far, number one. And number two, the masjids that they have visited have not been very welcoming. So that takes me to my next point, inshallah, that, you know, whatever is not working for someone may work for someone else, but be that ally, be that liaison, that you will be that bridge. So if you are seeing something that is not right, speak up. You know, if it's at your masjid, if it's at your centers, make sure that if someone comes to you and says, well, I didn't feel welcome here, that you take it to whoever you need to speak on behalf of these individuals. Because at the end of the day, whether you're a revert, a convert, a new Muslim, born into the faith, we are one ummah. And we're supposed to be taking care of one another. And that's really what I hope that the message is today. What can we take? What can we take from Ramadan for the rest of the year? And it's basically us ourselves coming out, transform in whatever manner that looks like for you. You know, again, for some is Salat, for some started praying during Ramadan. Take that outside of Ramadan. Make sure that you stay on your prayers. If it's a checklist you have to mark, then go ahead and do that. Because if that works for you, then that's wonderful. You know, if you really enjoy the fasting and the breaking, you know, or opening your fast with brothers and sisters, then make sure that you carry that outside, right? If you enjoyed that relationship and how you felt reading the Quran during this month, make sure that you pick up the Quran for the rest of the year as well, so you can continue that relationship with the Quran and Allah. So it doesn't have to end with Ramadan, as we are ending this month. We need to carry on for the rest of the year. And so I hope that these points were of benefit to all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in taqwa. And I ask Allah to make this journey a pleasant one to Him, and that we become people that are compassionate to one another and loving and merciful to one another, and that we respect one another and meet each other where we're at. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us afia, and for Him to give us good health. And if wealth is what you're seeking, for us to use it for His sake and in the best manner. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and accept all our ibadah, our worship, our good deeds, our fast, and that He allows us to see many more Ramadans. Eid Mubarak, and I will see you all next month. Jazakallah here for being here. Don't forget to donate to About Islam. This is possible through your generosity, so do drop whatever that is in the next few nights and beyond. We are here to service you. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.